Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
What's up? Oh, wow. Thanks. Glad you guys are back, man. I missed you last Sunday. I was here and nobody showed up. I'm just kidding. We weren't here. I'm glad you're back, but last Sunday was pretty great, wasn't it? It's pretty nice. Take a little break every now and again. But hey, we are thrilled you are here. I hope everybody, does everybody have a, I'm looking around, they're bringing up more chairs. All right, if you don't have a seat, we'll get you one, I promise. Glad you guys are here. Kicking off a brand new series today, calling it Inside Out, talking about change. And I kind of wanted to tell you guys a story to get started. It's a true story. It's not a preacher story. It actually happened to me. My wife and I, a few months ago, were down in Charleston. We love Charleston. It's one of our favorite places in the world. We like to just kind of get down there. It's funny, though, when you tell people in Charleston you're from Myrtle Beach, they definitely judge you a little bit, you know? And I'm like, don't be hating on Myrtle Beach, man. Like, I love coming here, but Myrtle Beach is pretty rocking, too. So anyway, we were down in Charleston, and we were checking out a new restaurant, and we'd never been there before, and I wasn't quite sure how to get there. I haven't quite mastered all of Charleston yet, and because I am a stereotypical male, I was not going to ask anyone's help or directions to find the place. So the good thing is, for guys, we've kind of gotten protected over the last few years because we all have these things called smartphones now. And I did what anybody does when you don't know where you're going. I opened up Google Maps and I typed in the address of the restaurant where I was going. And wouldn't you know it, it popped right up. And so then there's a little button there that says route. And it literally, I could press the button, it'll show me how to get to the restaurant. But if you've ever done this, you probably don't even think about it. It asks a question that I thought was so funny. Because I had it in my hand, and it showed me where the restaurant was, but then it asks, where do you want to start? And like, you could put in another address, but one of the options was current location. And I'm like, why would I start anywhere other than my current location? Like, why would I say, well, first, I want to get all the way over to Meeting Street, and then you give me the directions. No, I just put, I want to get there from right here, and I press the button, and what do you know? It gave up... brought up these perfect directions. They actually gave me like three options, told me how long it would take. And I had perfect directions to where I wanted to go. It taught me how to get from here to there. Now, you're like, dude, you're talking about Google Maps. What does this have to do with anything? Well, I think it has everything to do with our topic for today. Because today we're talking about change. It's 2017. Everybody's has resolutions, things they want to improve, things they want to change, things they want to get better. For some of you, you've already failed in your resolutions and you've given up and you've decided, I'll get them in 2018, right? Like you have just moved on. But when you think about a resolution, when you think about what's actually happening, what you're doing is you're looking at where you are and you have a desired destination. You want to improve something. You want to change something. For some of us, we want to lose weight. For some of us, we want to lose friends. For some of us, we want to make new friends. For some of us, we want our marriages to get better. We want to become better parents. We want to become better business people. We want to become better friends. We want to become better teenagers. Amen? We want to, whatever it is, right? We have this idea in our head of this destination, of where we want to go. And what we typically spend the first couple of weeks in January trying to figure out is how to get there. I know where I want to be, and I've got to figure out the steps and the path it's going to take me to get there. Now, I want you to imagine that you could pull up Google Maps and you could type in better dad. That you could type in lose my temper less. You know, that you could type in lose weight. And it would show you a step-by-step guide to get there. Is there anybody in the room that wouldn't want to know that? That wouldn't be interested? Well, the reason I use that example is because I am convinced there is. I'm convinced that our loving, gracious, patient, providing Heavenly Father has given us a pathway. He has given us a step-by-step process to change. And I'm not just talking about like changing you so that you read the Bible more. I'm not just talking about changing you so that you lose your temper less. I don't think there's a single area in your life that by following God's process, you can't get to where you want to be. I believe it is universal. So whether you are today, whether you believe in God, whether you don't believe in God, whether you're here because somebody drug you here, you're here because somebody promised to take you to lunch afterwards, you know somebody in the band, I don't know why you're here. All I know is this: God's truth is universal. And if there's anything in your life today you want to change, you want to improve, you want to get better, what we're going to talk about starting today and over the next few weeks can help you. And here's the best part. Here is the absolute best part about God's process for change. You don't have to get anywhere first. It's just like Google Maps. You start from where you are. In fact, I think that is the only place you can start, which is why we titled our series Inside Out. We titled it Inside Out because the path to lasting change starts right here. It starts with an honest appraisal of you and where you are. And I believe it then continues by you inviting God in to participating with you to change your life. Now, this is like a typical series here at Wellspring, right? It's going to be a four-week series. And today, I'm going to talk about some things. I'm going to raise some issues. I'm going to raise some questions. I'm going to get you all hot and bothered about what's supposed to do. And then I'm going to say, come back next week. Right? I'm not going to solve your issue today. Right? It's going to take us 4 weeks to fully understand what I believe God reveals through his scripture, that is his path, his process for eternal, lasting change. Today, I have one goal. All I want to do today is to convince those of you who may be skeptical that lasting change is not possible apart from a relationship with God. Now, I know you want to push back. For some of you, that may even be offensive, and I apologize. But I'm going to do my best today to explain to you why I would say that. But if we're honest for a second, if you really look at yourself in the mirror and think about the areas in your life you've tried to change in the past, the things that you've really tried to improve, and if you've tried to do them apart from God, you've tried to do them on your own, I want you to be really honest with how successful they actually were. And I don't mean short-term success. I don't mean a couple days. I mean a couple weeks. I don't even mean a couple months. But over the years, what tends to happen is we eventually fall back into our old pattern. And we fall back into our own path. And it's not your fault. My goal today is to explain to you why that happens, why it is such a struggle, and to convince you that there is a better plan. There is a better alternative, right? So that's all I want to do today. All I want to do today is to convince you lasting change starts from the inside out, and you will not be able to experience it in your life apart from a relationship with God. Now, the reason I would say that is because I have some things I need to tell you today. There's some good news I want to share with you today, and there's some bad news I want to share with you today. I am a bad news first kind of person, and since I'm up here talking and you're sitting, we're going to do the bad news first. This is kind of how it rolls. If you want to start your own church, you can do the good news first. But I'm talking, and I want to do the bad news first. And so, because even though the bad news is bad, the good news is better. So I want to end on a high. But I'm telling you, the bad news is pretty bad. The bad news, when I tell you the bad news, you're going to be like, man, I got up and came to church for this. Hey, at least you came to the 11. The 9:15 people, they got up real early and came, and it was cold. Did y'all survive Snowmageddon? Did you make it? Are you okay? Are we going to be able to pull ourselves together? There was a little bit of ice on part of my driveway this morning, and I thought, oh no, we live in the South. People ain't coming to church today. But you made it. Congratulations. I'm very proud of you. Here's the bad news. This is why you find it so difficult to change. This is why you find it so difficult to find success in the areas of your life you really want to improve and you want to get better, okay? Here's why it's so difficult. It's because we are broken. We are broken. And I don't mean we as in men. I don't mean we as in parents. I don't mean we as in Gamecock fans. I mean, we the people, we as people, all of us, we are broken. We are absolutely and completely broken. I know, Happy New Year's. We're broken. Let me explain why we're broken, because it gets worse. We are broken because of this thing called sin. I know, sin. Nobody likes to talk about sin. But we're broken because of sin. And sin is simply anything we do that God does not want us to do. That's sin. Right? Anytime we step outside of his plan for our life, anytime we do things our own way, anytime we say, God, I'm smarter than you, I know more than you, that's a sin. You sin, I sin, we all sin. We've never known anything but sin. We were born sinners. We were born really without any control and power over whether or not we wanted to sin. The reason that happened is because our very, 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 very ancient ancestors, a man named Adam and a woman named Eve, they were created by God. They were placed in this gift he gave them called the Garden of Eden, and he gave them one rule. And I know some of you are thinking, really, dude, like, I thought this was a sophisticated church. You believe there was actually an Adam and there was actually an Eve? Like, for real? Look, I don't know if there was actually an Adam or if there was actually an Eve. Here's what I do know. I know when Jesus was on earth for 3 years, when he was doing his public ministry, he talked about an actual Adam and an actual Eve. Jesus believed there was actually an Adam and an actual Eve. And anyone who can call their death, burial, and resurrection and then pull it off, I'm going to go with what they say. And Jesus says they're real, so I believe that they're real. Anyway, so God creates Adam and Eve, places him in this garden, and he says, look, I have given you one rule, one, just one. Eat whatever you want, do whatever you want. This one tree, don't eat from that tree. Well, guess what they did? They ate from that tree. And they sinned. They stepped outside of God's plan for their life. And when they sinned, they broke everything because sin came into the world. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to destruction. Sin leads to guilt and shame and pain and all these things God never intended. But what they didn't realize, they thought they were making this free choice. They thought they were saying, this is what I want to do. This will make me happy. What they didn't realize is they were being lied to. They were being tricked by a man named Satan. I know, sin and Satan the same day. What am I doing? They got tricked by this guy named Satan. A little backstory on Satan. Satan was an angel. He and God had a fight. God kicked him out of heaven because he was like, I'm not having any of that. Satan got really mad. He's hated God ever since. Tries to stop what God wants. God created us to love us. So Satan's like, hey, I can destroy them to punish him. And that's what Satan's been doing. And when he went to Adam and Eve, he lured them. He tricked them. He trapped them into sinning. Because when they sinned, sin came into the world. Pain came into the world. Suffering came into the world. And we have been suffering from it ever since. And as they sinned, their desire to sin grew more. And their belief that they were smarter than God grew more because Satan continued to lie to them. And now we're born we don't even have any control over it. We are born pre-wired to believe we're smarter than God, that we don't need God, that we know more than God, and that we can do what we want to do. And that's incredibly dangerous. Right? Here's why. Here's the best way. I was thinking about it for weeks, how to explain it. Let's go back to the Google Maps analogy. This is the best way I can explain Satan to you, okay? This is Satan. Imagine you're in a place you don't know, and you're using your phone to give you directions to get somewhere, okay? Now, imagine when you type in the directions, rather than it going to Google's computers to give you directions, if your phone has been hacked by a serial killer, and the path that comes up on your phone is not the path to get to the restaurant you want to get to, it instead is a trap luring you to his dungeon where he's going to mess with you and torture you and eventually kill you. What? I didn't say it. He gonna mess you up, Jack. That is Satan. And that's what he's been doing to you every day of your life. Every good idea, every good intention, every good destination you have in mind for where you want to be, he's corrupted it. He's tricked you. He's lured you into doing stuff that harms you, that harms your family, and he's laughing about it. That's Satan. And here's the problem. We keep coming back for more. We keep telling ourselves, oh, next time it'll be different. No, no, no. I've learned my lesson this time. I've figured it out. See, our hearts have become broken. Because we are broken. In fact, here's how God himself describes our predicament through his prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet during the Old Testament time. A prophet was simply someone who spoke on God's behalf. God would literally say, "Hey, Jeremiah, say these words." And Jeremiah would say, "Okay," and he would say those words. And through the prophet Jeremiah, God describes our current predicament, our current inside, our heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not good news. Here's what he says in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked." And then, see the quotes here? That means God is saying this. And he says, "Who really knows how bad it is?" I'm like, "God, you created it. What do you mean?" He's like, "I don't know." "Who really knows how bad it is? The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked." And some of you are like, whoa. No. I have learned from many Hugh Grant movies. You follow your heart. I have learned. You just follow your heart. You just follow your heart. Heart. Hopefully my mocking tone indicates my opinion on that. Because what God says is that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And the reason it's deceitful and the reason it's wicked is because it's been lied to, because it's been trapped, because Satan has taught it to continue to rely on him and to think you know more and to not trust God. And I can prove this for anybody in the room who actually is a Christ follower, who is a Christian. Think about the last time or the last couple of times there was a tension in you between what God said you should do, what you knew God wanted you to do, and what your heart said you should do. Okay? Think about the last time you ignored God and followed your heart. Now, tell me whether or not that worked out. Exactly. Never has. Never will. Why? Because we are broken. We are absolutely, irrevocably broken. We do not have it within ourselves to be able to muster the willpower and the wisdom to change ourselves. And we were born that way. If this is the first time you're hearing this, I am so sorry. But I assure you, even though the bad news is bad, the good news is better. Because even though this was our predicament, even though this is who we are, we do not have to stay this way. We learned the good news from a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament, which tells the story of Jesus, of God sending his son Jesus to earth and then the spread of the early church. And then Paul comes on the scene after Jesus has gone back up into heaven. Paul, it's an interesting story. Some of you can probably relate to Paul because Paul does not come into the picture as a Christian. Paul actually comes into the picture opposed to Christianity. He was a Jewish religious leader who thought Christianity was a cult. And Paul actually actively worked to kill the church. I mean that literally. The very first Christian martyr was a man named Stephen. And we're told that Paul stood there and held the coats of the men who were stoning Stephen. So he sat there and he approved of it. So let me ask you real quickly. Anybody in this room ever stone a Christian? And I mean in the literal sense, not that you gave them something and they enjoyed it. I'm not saying, I don't mean like that. You were all thinking it, and so I had to make it clear. I saw some of you going, maybe? I don't know. Huh? How honest are we going to be here? Anybody in this room ever kill a Christian, just murder them? I didn't think so, all right? And guess what God ends up doing with Paul? God has an encounter with Paul. Jesus has an encounter with Paul. And Jesus is like, "Dude, what are you doing? Don't stop what you're doing. Let me change you from the inside out. Let's go change the world." And that's exactly what Paul does. Paul becomes the greatest missionary the church has ever known. Paul proceeds to travel around the Mediterranean world at the time. He starts churches there. He goes out, he leads people to Jesus. He starts churches. He raises leaders in the churches, and then he moves on to another church. Eventually, Paul begins writing letters to these churches and to other churches, giving them instructions for how to follow him and how to be the church, because they didn't really know how to do that yet. And see, what we as Christians believe is that we can read these letters that Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago, and we can read them and they apply to us. God was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. And so we know what God wants us to do. And one of the churches Paul started was this church in a city called Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul clearly and succinctly explains the predicament we're talking about today. He acknowledges the fact that we are broken. He acknowledges the fact that we were born broken. But then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he gives us the greatest news hopefully you've ever heard in your life. Here's what he says. He says, look, anyone who belongs to Christ. See, he says anyone there. I think that's important for Paul to say because Paul had murdered people. And so he's saying, look, if this can save me, this can save anybody. Anyone who belongs to Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. Anyone who actually has a relationship with Jesus. Anyone who belongs to Christ becomes what? A new person. The old life is gone. And a new life has begun. The old life, the old heart, the old deceit. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Now, let me explain to you how that works, because I think it's very important. Here's how that works. When Jesus came to earth, he had two sin issues he had to deal with. Okay? The first sin issue he had to deal with was the penalty we earned because we sinned. See, God is just. I said earlier, all God can do with sin is destroy sin, right? He can't be around it. Well, he created us to love us. We sinned, which meant he had to destroy us. We had earned a death sentence, essentially, right? And so it was a death sentence on earth, and it was a sentence for us to be eternally separated from God forever. So that was number one. But number two, because we were, as Paul says, we were slaves to sin, as you have all experienced it, we didn't even have a choice. What that means is that when we opened up our Google Maps and when we tried to figure out our future for life and we tried to figure out our paths, that even though Satan was leading us into a trap, we could not identify that it was a trap. We didn't have the capacity to do it. We couldn't see it. We were slaves to that. So he sends Jesus. And Jesus is born, and he lives for 30 years, and then he starts a 3-year ministry. And during that entire time, he never once sinned. He never once stumbled. He never once stepped outside of God's perfect plan for his life. Never once. At the end of his 3-year ministry, he's handed over to the Jewish leaders, who hand him over to the Roman government, who sentence him to death and nail him to a cross. And when he died on that cross, God solved our first sin problem. Because God took the penalty I deserved and you deserved and we all deserved, the punishment we deserved, and he substituted Jesus for us. He punished Jesus in our place. All of it, wrath for all time, taken out on his son, on Jesus. So our first sin problem was taken care of. The second one still existed. We were still slaves to sin. Until Sunday morning. Because on Sunday morning, the resurrection happened. On Sunday morning, God came back to life. On Sunday morning, he brought his son back. He proved he had power over sin and death. And it was a promise to us. It was a promise of his power. Hey, if I can raise my son from the dead, I can raise you from the dead. And it was also a picture of what he could do for you. Just as he raised Jesus from the bonds of sin, it was a proclamation to you that I can set you free from the bonds of sin. What does that mean? That means now when you take out Google Maps and Satan tries to trick you with his path, you can say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's Satan's path. That's a path to a serial killer. I'm not going to follow that path. You couldn't even see it before Jesus. But Jesus opened your eyes to it. And Jesus lets you begin to see, whoa. That's a destructive pattern. That's not what I should do. No. I need to follow Jesus with my life, not listen to these other things. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's why he can say, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Don't miss that word, has begun. Does not mean a new life has arrived. A new life has begun. A new life that you will spend the rest of your earthly life following. Because Satan does not lay down his gun when you become a Christian. He picks up another one. And he comes after you harder. And he wants to harm you. And he wants to lie to you. But the beautiful thing about Jesus and the beautiful thing about his plan that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks is that he's accounted for everything. And he's put things in place and he's put systems in place that if we simply trust him, if we simply follow him, if we simply choose to say, you're right and I'm wrong, I want to be who you want me to be, we can walk through life, we can avoid the landmines Satan lists for us, and we can achieve the best life possible. But the only way that happens, the only way, is when we admit reality. And reality is this. Reality is we are broken. But Jesus fixed it. He fixed it. Another way to say that, Jesus came to give us hope for the future and help for today. Jesus came to give us hope. We know where we're going. We know where our eternity is. We know he has our backs. We know he has our best. And he came to give us help for today, a process that we can follow where we become less like us and more like him. That's where we're going to start 2 weeks from now. But today, as I said, I had one goal today. And my one goal was very simple. My one goal is to convince you that we are broken and to convince you that Jesus fixed it. That's it. We are broken. Jesus fixed it. It is now in your hands. The question you must wrestle with is, do you want 2017 to be different than every year that preceded it? And if you do, you must do something different than every other year. You must enter 2017 with eyes wide open. You must enter 2017 understanding why it's never worked before, why it's never stuck, why you've never been able to have lasting change. And it's because you were trying to do it in your own strength, in your own power, in your own wisdom. And I'm sorry, I love you, but we're broken. And it's not going to work. It's only when we choose to partner with Jesus, when we invite him in, we allow him to make us a new person, that any lasting change is possible. Now, I know some of you, man, like you're listening and you're trying to hang on to this, but in the back of your head, what you're thinking is, dude, my 2017 resolution was to start a new business. I really don't know how Jesus helps with that. I wanted to get my finances in order. I wanted to improve my HR at work. I wanted to get in better shape. I wanted to lose some weight. I understand. Yeah, sure. If it was temper, if it was parenting, I get it. But how does that help me? I'm just not buying it. Man, if that's you, whew, I'm so glad you're here because I want to set you free today. Because dare I say, there is literally nothing. There is no area in your life that won't get better, that you won't get sharper, that you won't improve after you give Jesus control of your life. And I can prove it because our buddy Paul, who we just talked about, wrote many letters. And in his letter to the church at Galatia, he explains the benefits of following God's process. He explains the benefits of a relationship with Jesus that allows you to become a new person. He explains the benefits by talking about something called the Holy Spirit. Now, don't let that freak you out. The Holy Spirit simply means that is God's way of actually reaching into you and changing you. And you probably grew up with your parents telling you things like, don't act selfish, which basically meant you can feel selfish, just don't show it, right? What the Holy Spirit does and what God's goal is, he says, no. It's not enough not to act selfish. I don't want you to be selfish. It's not about behavior modification. It's about internal transformation. I literally want to reach into you and change your emotions. I want to replace the selfishness with sacrifice. That's what I want to do, and that's what he can do. And so when Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, he gives them a list. Here are the things that come from this relationship with God. Here are the things that come when you allow God to begin to change you from the inside out. I want you to listen very closely to the list. Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit produces. That means the Holy Spirit does the work, by the way. You don't have to do the work. You have to open up and let the Holy Spirit do the work. The Holy produces this kind of fruit in our lives, this type of results, this type of action. You ready for the list? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me read that list again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's quite a list. Now, go back to the thing in 2017 you want to change. Talk about your business. Talk about your HR. Talk about your finances. Talk about your physical health. And now look at that list again. You're telling me a life overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control wouldn't produce better results in those areas? 75% of everything we want to change is self-control. That's it. And Paul says it comes from a relationship with Jesus. It is a fruit of allowing him to change you from the inside out. So it's very simple. If the 8 traits on this list don't interest you, if you don't think any area of your life would get better with more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if you don't think those would help, if those aren't applicable to your situation, then change nothing. But if they are, if you know you'd be better, if you know your resolutions would be more attainable, if you know your goals would be closer to your grasp, if you had a life filled with those things, then I implore you, change everything. If you are a Christ follower today, this is simply a reminder. A reminder of who the source of your change is. A reminder to evaluate that this week. You simply just need to be reminded God is competent. The reason you've forgotten is you think God is too small to solve what you have struggling with. Next week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how big and how great God really is. Some of you need a reminder. For others, you need an invitation. You need an invitation to the new life Jesus paid for you to have. You need to begin a relationship with Jesus. You need to start right where you are. You need to invite him in and allow him to begin to change you from the inside out. And so what I'm going to ask is I'm going to ask everybody in the room to bow their heads. And everybody in the room to close their eyes. And if you would say today, yes, I want the life God offers through Jesus. I want to experience that. I want to be set free from the traps Satan continues to lay for me. I want to live the life God planned. Then it's very simple. You pray these words in your heart as I pray them out loud. Just say, God, I accept the life you offer. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've made mistakes and that I've done things you didn't want me to do. I believe that that separated me from you. I get it. But I also believe you sent Jesus to set me free. His death paid the price for my sin. And his resurrection proved that I could be set free just like he was. I want to follow your path for my life. I want you to change me from the inside out. I want to belong to you. So I commit myself to you. Change me. Now keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, but I want you to know if you just prayed that prayer, the angels in heaven are throwing a party because they celebrate any time someone comes home. And I want you to know, if you prayed that prayer, you're not at the end of a destination. You're at the beginning of a journey of discovering what it means to follow Jesus. We're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. But as this church, we will be privileged to walk with you for the rest of your life. So I'm going to ask you to do two things for me. Number one, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. When I count to three, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I want to give you a chance just to publicly declare, really just to me, I'm looking around. Just to say, yes, I prayed that prayer. 2017 is going to be different because Jesus is the leader of my life. One, two, three. Just shoot them up. Just shoot your hands up. Keep them up. Just shoot them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Celebrate it. Keep those hands up. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Okay. Okay. You put them down. Now look at me. Let's just say there's a big party going on in heaven. That's pretty cool. One more thing. If you just raise your hand, if you just went public with that, here at Wellspring, we want to walk with you through it. In the seat back in front of you is a connection card. Abby and Danielle talked about it earlier. On that card is a box. It says, "Today I became a Christ follower." Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to take that card, check that box, and on your way out, either give it to someone in our guest services area or bring it into the blue room and just let us know. We want someone to be able to pray with you and just kind of help you understand, hey, this is what this means. This is the beginning of a journey that we want to walk with you. This isn't the end. So we'd love to know what God said. As we close today, we're going to close with a song. And I pray for everyone in the room, as you sing this song, that you'll be reminded of the amazing grace God gave. And even though we broke it, He came to fix it. I don't know, for some of you, you're here today and you're like, you know, this is your first time in church in a while. And, you know, you're interested, but you weren't quite ready to step over. I get that. I get that. Look, here's all I ask today. I ask you to just come back. Just come back. Keep asking questions. Keep investigating God. You're going to find we are the safest place in Myrtle Beach to ask questions about God. Because your questions don't scare us. Your questions inspire us, because they tell us you're interested and you want to know. And we believe if you continue to seek, you eventually will find. And He will change your life. So let me pray, and then let's celebrate the amazing grace God showed when He came and set us free. Father, we love You so much. Lord, I just thank You right now for the time we have to sing and to celebrate You. Lord, I pray that our lives will be changed. I pray from the inside out that we will surrender ourselves to You. We'll be reminded that You are the source. You are who we turn to. You are who's going to produce the lasting effects in our life. It comes from You. It comes from our relationship with You. It comes because You set us free from ourselves. Lord, we thank You that we were broken and You fixed it. Lord, I pray that truth will just fill our hearts, permeate our souls, and change our lives today. It's in Your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.